You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. I'm Kara Cooper.
And I'm Jessica Resch. Known for her roles on Broadway in Waitress, Falsettos, Bullets Over Broadway, and The Mystery of Edwin Drood, today's guest is currently starring in Estella Scrooge, the first fully realized musical filmed in virtual production during the pandemic.
It's soon to be a holiday favorite, we know, and she did this all with a newborn at home. Here's our conversation with Betsy Wolfe.
Hello, Betsy.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Hi.
OMG, you are a mom.
I am a mom. It is weird to, it actually seriously is weird to say that.
Right.
I'm a mom.
It's your mom. You're someone's person. And that is like, I think that was, I had the same sort of thing. I think we all do, right? All of a sudden you go like, oh my God, holy shit.
And I'm the person. Of the people that had babies during this time, because there's like the pre-COVID time, which, and then there's going to be the post-COVID time. But during that time, you had a baby. So you're also like pre-mom and post-mom. Like the big change that happened during this time is immense.
I spent the majority of my pregnancy, actually it's almost split half and half to, you know, no pandemic, and then spent the latter half of my pregnancy in full-blown pandemic mode, wondering, what am I doing? What is happening? I'm having a child in the middle of the craziest time, craziest. Truly. And now it's kind of a trend, because now people are like, hey, I got this time off. This might be a good time to, so I've, you know, maybe
you were a trendsetter. Of course, please. No, but it's like, we always want to start talking about our kids. So will you tell us about Sweet Poppy? And also I want to know where you got the name, because
the name.
It's adorable, but
tell us about her. And I was so glad my husband liked it, even though he probably wouldn't have had a choice in it. No, that's not true. I always loved the name Poppy, but it wasn't actually, it was a more recent name, and it was something I kind of, you know, growing up in California, the state flower is a poppy. So I always loved seeing them. And so it was kind of like this special connection to my home state and just where I'm from and my roots. But more than anything, I just like always loved the sound of it. And then, you know, once like my husband and I had to narrow down to like three, it just kind of always kept coming back to us. And now that she's here, I mean, from the moment we even saw her kind of, you know, on the sonograms, like I was like, she's a poppy. It's just, she just is a poppy. And now I can't imagine her being named anything else. It's hard to describe. It sounds so cliche. I had no idea the amount of love like you could actually have for a human being or for anything until that happens to you. And I don't want to sound like I was, you know, I feel like really snarky in a way saying this, but when people had kids before, I'm like, no, I totally get it. It's yours. You love them. And it's like special. And like, that must be a really cool bond. I am an idiot. I truly had no idea what that was. And now that I am a mom, I can't even almost identify with myself outside of it in a certain way or before it. I think it's kind of an incredible, beautiful thing. And honest to goodness, it just makes me think, why didn't I do this 10 years earlier? I mean, there's reasons for it, but like, I've had a lot of those thoughts in my life lately that like the amount of joy that I've had in the past 6 months and the amount of just things I've realized are my yeses and things I've realized are my no's. I just think, God, I could have done this so many years ago. And yet it wouldn't have been her.
Right.
And yeah. At the end of the day, I am so glad she chose me to be her mom.
Aww. I know. Oh, it's so good.
I know. And I remember those feelings so well, especially when they're so little. Because for our listeners, Poppy's like 5 months old. Is that right?
She's just a little over six now.
Okay. A little over six.
Yep.
But I just remember like looking like my mother-in-law, my husband's one of six kids. And I remember looking at her holding my baby and being like, I know why you did this six times. Like, I get it. Now, granted, we're like past that now. I've got two. We're done. But but like in that – when you first feel what that feels like, there are no words to describe it. And it's who you are now. Till yeah. the end.
I mean, it's like
till the end of time. It's who you are.
You, the person you were, you know, I think we've touched on this not very often though. It's like you have to sort of mourn and put the person you were, she's gone. Like you were never that person again. You have been changed on a cellular level. And I think that like, I always say to people, you will never move through the world as carefree again. Like ever. Like when I have friends that are pregnant, I'm like, I want you to just be on your couch and then all of a sudden decide, I want to go wherever. Like, I want to go to the diner. Or I want to go out and just grab your little purse, your little like, you know, like side purse with just your phone and your wallet and your keys and you're carefree and just walk out of your house without a second thought because you're not going to do that ever.
I can't even cross the street without going, well, I have to look twice both ways.
Right.
I have to look both ways twice because I am Poppy's mother.
Yes, exactly.
I have a mom. And so
and,
I don't know.
And it continues like as they get bigger, even when you're away from them, you're thinking like, or is she okay? What does she need? Are they feeding her okay? You know, did they brush her teeth? It's like, it's insane. It's crazy.
And
it's
on a global pandemic. Like your life is full of restrictions right now because of that. But to harken back to what you said at first, you just said you've known joy like you've never known before. So I know we kind of went to like, we're never going to be the same person again, but it sounds like you are just loving the new person that you are.
I'm loving the new person.
To celebrate.
Yeah. And it's not, you know, it's funny. I think of like my old self and like what, and it's not like I felt like what consumed my thoughts wasn't of importance or that I wasn't, you know, trying to move through the world kind of, thinking of creating movement in a positive fashion or like what I did was invaluable. It's just that now that she's here, I see such a clear purpose for what I want to do moving forward now. Mm-hmm. And how I want to spend my time, I think is obviously, one of the greatest gifts that a child can bring you. And I think it's really hard in this business to, you know, we are, a lot of us are people pleasers. And in this business, I think being an actress, you have to, in a certain way, always be, you know, going the distance and making sure you're accommodating other things in order to create opportunities for yourself. And what this time has given me, you know, pandemic aside, is the ability to really have my yeses be always centered around what is truly going to make the best life for us. What is, and she now comes first. You know, I think that's one of the reasons why I had such a hard time grasping like myself as a mom at first is because I think in this career that I've chosen, you have to be somewhat, you know, selfish. And it is in some ways a very, very, and you have to be, it's not a negative thing. You have to be very proud of what you do and very involved in yourself. And I think I was like so nervous and so worried about, you know, taking on a human that would take then priority, and like, am I going to miss that? Am I going to, am I going to be as successful? And the reality is I now know, or at least it seems to me like I know what I want to spend my time doing now. And so much is now involved around her that it actually makes all the other things so much easier. And, yeah, I know it's so new, and I don't, you know, I know that like you guys have been moms for a lot longer than I am, and but it feels so clear right now, and I'm sure that many things will become even more complicated down the line too. But my purpose feels very, very clear.
Yeah, I love that's beautiful. I think it's, and it's true. I think, you know, we talk about that a lot. It's like, once you become a mom, you go into those audition rooms and things like that, and it no longer holds the power to a certain degree. Yeah. It's like, cause you know what, if you don't like me, I have this kid at home who's awesome and she thinks I'm amazing and she's my focus. You know what I mean? But yeah, truly, like, it just sort of puts everything into perspective. And also, like you said, it makes it so clear, the decisions and the projects you want to take on and the time you want to spend away. And you're like, if I'm going to be away 8 shows,
it better be good.
It better be good, and it better be worth it. Yep. But
although I got to say, Poppy is a hard audience. I mean, no, I'm serious. I would give anything to go in an audition room right now and just get a laugh. She makes it so hard. She sometimes will look at me and be like, Mom, you did that yesterday. Come up with something else. Like, she'll just go, like, she goes, huh. She does one chuckle, and then she has this guttural laugh that just will go on for like 30 seconds. And then you try again and it's, huh. You know, it kills me. And I'm like, okay, I'll work on some new material. Yeah. You know,
just going to be your teacher.
He's a tough crowd.
Wait until she gets a little bigger and she's like, and you're singing and she's like, Mom. Oh, Mom, God. Don't sing. I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
You're like, people pay money for this.
So having these, you know, clear decisions kind of be coming to the forefront for you. You said yes to something pretty early on she was born, and we want to talk about it because Betsy is starring in Estella Scrooge, which is the first musical, fully realized musical filmed in virtual production.
Correct.
So, I mean, Poppy must have been fairly young when this opportunity came along. And also, how did you go about doing it? Because my understanding is that you all are filmed in front of green screen. Maybe you weren't actually in the same places as the people you were filming with. I mean, talk us through this. I can't even wrap my head around it.
Oh, I still can't wrap my head around it.
And you lived it.
And I lived it. I actually watched the film last night for the first time because I knew I would be talking to you. And it also just came out. And so I was offered this role probably a month after Poppy was born. And I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. At first I thought, do they know I just had a baby? Like, that was part of my thought process. I had been approached about this role years ago, back in 2014, 2015, when they were doing it out of town. And I always loved the concept. I loved this idea of Christmas Carol meets Great Expectations. I loved that they were using a female to tell one of my all-time favorite stories. Side note, a huge family tradition is watching The Muppets Christmas Carol every year. Same. And same, yes. Yes. Light the lamp, not the rat. Anyways, don't get me started. This whole podcast could just be silly quotes from that whole film. So I loved the concept, and I was like, no. I said no. I just said, I can't film. She's 2 months old. She's also, we're also, it's a pandemic. I mean, I didn't go anywhere. And I know that people in this time take things kind of at different safety levels, but I can guarantee you this: if you are 6-7 months pregnant at the beginning of a pandemic, you for the first time, you would probably be doing what I was doing, which was absolutely no grocery stores, no stores, no friends, nothing. I mean, just nothing. And it was right around when a friend of mine had been seriously hospitalized. We all know Nick Cordero's story. And it just was, this was, it was a different time in March and April and still is very much so, but it was, I didn't want to take on anything that might even possibly have like a percentage chance of putting my family or others at risk. And so they explained to me more of this process that we were going to be going into a room. There would only be two people there. Everyone was going to be tested multiple times a week. I would never interact with other actors. I would rehearse the entire thing on Zoom, maybe one time per scene, one maybe Zoom rehearsal per scene. And then it was going to be filmed over the course of 8 weeks. I was really honest. You know, again, this is kind of that thing about she always comes first now. So I said, okay, I don't want to ever work more than 4 hours at a time. I want to work so early in the morning that I knew that I would only miss, 3 hours of her being awake. I can only shoot 2 days a week. So she doesn't become comfortable with me not being there. And they were really fantastic and were willing to oblige. So I tried to set up with, Poppy coming first, the best situation for what I thought my new family was. And sure enough, then we met on Zoom and I never met some of the actors I still to this day have never met in person, my love interest, who, by the way, is so fantastic and nuanced.
Is that Clifton?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I did a workshop with him. Yeah.
Fantastic. Really, really brings something to this film. I mean, of course, you expect like amazing, amazingness from like Danny Burstein and Patrick Page and Carolee Carmello and Lauren Patton's stellar. But like, I just did not know him and was just so, so moved by his work. Anyways. So it was filmed in a basement. I think if people saw what the basement looked like, where I couldn't even lift my hands up without touching the ceiling. So we would have to do certain scenes where they'd be like, okay, let's back up so you can fully extend your arms. I mean, it was the craziest thing not having other actors. It was one of the most challenging things I've ever done. And the reason why I said yes, because I was pregnant for a while, I had not, worked in a little bit and was eager to create again. I don't even like using the term work because it wasn't about like me having a baby and then wanting to return to work, but it was me wanting to create in the way that I know fills me up as a human, which then in turn I know will make me a better mom. So the reason why I said yes was I thought, someday I will be really, really proud to sit down with Poppy and watch this like Christmas film with her, just like I watched, the Muppets Christmas Carol with my parents every year. And I thought that she might think that's really, really cool to like watch her mom, God love it, maybe still a little 15 pounds over pre-baby pandemic weight on screen, doing her thing. And I just thought it might be something that she might be really proud of someday. So I filmed it over the course of 3 months to 5.5 months. I pumped I had hair and makeup at my home at 4 a.m., I got in a car and took the hour-long trip to the studio every day, pumped in a moving vehicle, which I could not recommend less. It was so nauseating. And then went on set for 4 hours, didn't take breaks, so I wouldn't have to stop and pump. We just didn't take breaks on set, and then would get right back in the car and pump in my car on the way home. It was a grueling schedule, and yet I'm really proud of it. And I hope that someday, she'll be like, oh, that's really cool that's what my mom did.
She definitely will be. She will definitely be.
And she has to, I'm so impressed that you knew from the get-go what you needed to ask for and how you needed to, what's the word I'm looking for? Oh my gosh.
To advocate for yourself. Advocate.
Oh my gosh. Use it for my kids all this help, but to advocate for your needs, the fact that you knew that for at such a
early point in motherhood is really impressive.
Well, I definitely had like a network of great moms to lean on and ask like, hey, what would this actually look like? What am I not thinking of? What are my blind spots? Because I mean, every day I'm Googling something on the internet, you know, relying on the, you know, and just following in the footsteps of others who've, you know, the billions of women that have come before me, you know.
But so it's just incredible. I'm super impressed. And also, I think there needs to be a book or even like an Instagram account, places you've pumped, because the places that women have pumped in this world is just, I've never done it in a moving car, but I mean, I know
they're so nauseous with a mask on. I mean, the whole thing is just crazy. And think about it. You're sanitizing everything. You're just, I'm like, you know, I had a dedicated car and my driver was tested, you know, regularly. So it was just, the whole thing is still like really, really,
still
the whole
stressful, thing was not, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really stressful. And I was watching the movie last night and I could actually tell, fun fact, like where we were in the filming process. Cause I was like, it's like literally a double boob over my bra. Cause it's like, I was so, this is way too much detail. But if you look carefully, you can be like, oh wow, that was the end of the session. Betsy clearly needed to pump.
That is so true about, it's just like, we were just talking about that with Kelly O'Hara, the other day, and Bridges of Madison County. And like, you mean it's a very real thing. You have to, you know, figure out when to pump and they get bigger and, you know, there's some mama boobs, honey.
I have no idea.
God. Girl, I'm normally an A cup. And the first bra I bought, I had a wedding a month after Elliot was born. And I went to Victoria's Secret and I was like, well, I'm normally an A cup, but I just had a baby. The girl was like, here's a 34 double D. And I was like, no.
I think that's not for me.
No, that's not it. And she was like, just try it. And I put it on. Oh my God, it feels amazing. But also like, whose boobs are these?
Exactly. Zoom fittings. I had Zoom fittings. So like for a month before the show, IKEA size bags of clothes would show up outside of my door that they had driven in. And then I would take them inside, then put them on in a different room, come in. And then the director and all the people would see, you know, I would put on all these clothes. I mean, the undertaking, that was the thing is everything obviously is so much more time consuming than you ever imagine it to be. But then in the context of a pandemic, it's just like, you don't just get to go to a wardrobe fitting for 2 hours. It takes multiple days. And so again, you know, it definitely shapes my future projects and like what you think about. And like you said, I thought about some things, but I certainly, you know, you don't think about all the things for sure. But
oh my God. Making art and
pandemic.
It's just
a baby.
With a newborn.
Exactly. Yeah. She was very much a newborn.
Well, Betsy, I want to ask you because you didn't really like, I don't even want to say announce, but you know, like social media, we post whatever. you didn't announce until like 2 months before she arrived.
Mm-hmm.
So like, and I was completely taken by surprise. Like we know each other socially and we've been around and like, I remember talking to you at like Alex's holiday party or like New Year's Eve party or something a few years ago. And you were like, so tell me, is it really hard to have a kid? Like you were like, tell me what it's like, you know? And I remember talking to you about that. And, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, she's pregnant. Betsy Wolf is having a baby. And did you feel, is there a reason you waited so long to sort of put it out there? Because we have had some moms who are like, I didn't want people in the industry to know, or I didn't want to affect any work I was doing. Did you consciously decide to do that? Or was it just you were enjoying the time, you know, and just.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And I always wondered the same thing, like why other people did what they did. And then what's funny is just going through my experience, it just seemed when we announced was the kind of the most natural progression for us. You know, I let my super, 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 super close friends and my family know earlier on. And then it was kind of this funny thing. I had all these jobs lined up and I can't remember if I was like 4 or 5, 6 months pregnant. And I just kept doing them and no one noticed. And then it was just kind of this fun thing of like, no one's noticing I'm even pregnant. I think they might be thinking like, wow, Betsy really enjoyed the holidays this year. Or like, you know, maybe just like, oh. And then I just thought this is kind of fun. And you know, maybe we should announce like, maybe let's just announce in like after late February or something like that, when like, you know, it will be hard to hide it anymore. There was a bunch of fun events coming up and I was like, it'll be so much fun to like debut the bump. Cut to the roundabout gala. I think it was the first event that I went to. I think I announced that week and I got a fun dress on. And then the next week, we all know what happened. It was like March 13th, the world ended. And I was like, well, that was no fun. I didn't get to wear any fun dresses, which is such a stupid thing to think about. But it was kind of this weird time. I was like, this will be so much fun. I'll get to like go out and be pregnant. What will that look like when like a stranger actually says like, oh no, please sit down on the subway, which I never got to experience. By the way. I was never pregnant enough riding a subway to even get that chance or to like shame someone for not letting me have a seat.
Yeah. I didn't even say that happens more often than the other. Most
I would have like really enjoyed that. Be like, no, that's okay. You take it. I'm just totally pregnant. So it was, I think at first it started out of caution and then it just kind of became this like really fun secret that I had and something that I knew I would have the rest of my life to like share her. But like, I was just kind of like loving, enjoying like what that actually looked like. No, very few people saw me pregnant. It was very strange. My parents never even saw me pregnant. Because if you think about the timeline, it just wasn't really,
right.
Oh, that's not true. They saw me at Christmas. But if, yeah, if you think
about
the time.
But you weren't like probably really showing.
No, I hadn't popped at all. No.
Yeah.
No.
And that is a very specific experience moving through the world, being visibly pregnant. You know, even just having other mothers respond to you, you know, it's kind of this like unspoken bond where someone who's walking around with kids and sees you with your bump, you know, you're like, oh, that's who I'm going to be. And here, you know, this is who you were there. That is a very specific experience to have.
It is. It's also so lovely when people tell you that there must be two in there because you're so big or when they say, oh, you're going to pop any day now. And I say, no, we got six more weeks. And they're like, oh no. You know, that's really lovely too. That's great.
I kind of, if this sounds weird, I kind of like mourned the loss of like expect of having a preconceived idea of what all that would look like. You're right. I didn't have that opportunity. I never got to kind of just be pregnant, riding the subway and have people share with me little tidbits about like, oh, is that a girl? Is it a boy? I have three or whatnot. Because when I really started showing, it was around 6 months, 7 months. I mean, like really, truly, like you could even sort of see something and, or at least a belly anyway. And, it was when we were already kind of wearing masks and no one was going near each other. So it was this really like cold kind of distant feeling. And then even when she was born, I obviously didn't want anyone coming near her, which was like kind of always sad to me in a way because I would, you know, I thought like, oh, that must be really sweet when you walk by a little baby and, you know, I always just think like, oh, they're so little, they're so young, you know, when was she born? And I've always enjoyed doing that with, you know, with other people. And it's just kind of a sweet thing. And it was a very odd time to be walking in a park, avoiding people and, you know, viewing kind of anyone else as like, obviously like a threat or a danger, sadly. But that was kind of my, that was kind of the way in which I was moving through the world. And so it was really, really sweet. I have to say, like, I would occasionally walk by women with like bumps or whatnot. And it was the middle of winter too. So everyone's wearing coats. So you can't really tell. But when I would walk by someone who also had like a car seat or a little carrier, we would just kind of smile. And like, I think there was just this understanding of this like really, really strange shared experience in a very, very odd time. And so even if we didn't stop necessarily and talk to each other, there was just something even deeper to me beyond like, we're just moms. It's like, oh, we chose to be moms at a crazy time, like truly, truly crazy time. Yeah. Or didn't necessarily choose to, but that's what happened.
So,
So funny, as you're saying that, I feel like, and this is maybe a side note that we can edit out later, but I think that the motherhood experience, wherever you are in that experience during this time, mm-hmm. I think there are going to be a lot of stories to tell from it. You know, yeah. I think there might be, there's some art there that needs to happen because everybody yeah. is experiencing it in such an intense way. Everybody, obviously,
yeah.
but the motherhood level, whatever phase you're in, you know, our last episode was with parents whose kids have flown the nest. They're old. They've left. So they're experiencing empty nest during a pandemic, you wow. know, and here yeah. you are experiencing bringing a life into the world during the pandemic. I think that's like anyway, just a little yeah. food for thought there.
I think it took me a while to, you know, I want to preface it by saying I'm so grateful for my health. When the second I start to think like, oh, woe is me, poor me, I didn't get this, I always have 30 stories like right behind that, that make me grateful for what I do have, my family, my health, and the ability that I have. And, but like, I really struggled for a while with really feeling robbed of like certain experiences of new motherhood, whether they were just small things like even spend, because most of my pregnancy was not spent necessarily in a pandemic. So I was just thinking of exciting things like that'll be really fun to go with my husband and take her in the car seat and sit at a restaurant and eat and just like silly things of incorporating her into the world as we knew it and visiting my parents for Christmas, you know, flying to California for her first Christmas. Like it took me like a long, even now I get like a little choked up about it. Like just like mourning the loss of like what I think I thought it would be. And like balancing that with kind of this new world that we're in. And like, obviously I don't get to go home for Christmas because that's a choice this year that, you know, I've made, that we've, you know, kind of collectively made as a family because I just don't feel like it's safe to take her on a plane. You know, my husband and I can mask up, but she can't. And it feels very selfish to, you know, put her in that position and others. And so I really did have to like mourn the loss of like what that looks like when my family meets her for the first time and a lot of just like the little things that I got so excited about with her. And yet again, there's obviously an abundance of things that I'm grateful for. And so I know life no other way. My life will forever be delineated into the category of pre-Poppy and then Poppy in the pandemic, Poppy in like 2020.
Oh my God. When it's over, you're going to feel like when you can take her out into the world without this, without being in this moment,
yeah,
it's going to feel, Betsy, it's just going to be like so incredible. You know, you're going to be able to have those experiences. And I'm sure like my heart hurts for you. I get it. Like I can imagine all those things that because we have expectations and there are specific moments in life that we're looking forward to. And so, but I, you know, and I understand like, of course you're grateful. Of course you're thankful that you have your health and that everyone, but you can also be really sad about the other stuff. We have to hold space for both because yeah. both are very valid feelings. And yeah, that's real.
I think about too, like, the support of other new mothers, you know, something that you do when you have a newborn is you go to mommy and me classes and you meet other women who are going through the exact same thing that you are going through. And anybody who's had a baby during this time just doesn't have that as an option. Yeah. And that's really difficult. And I'm sure it has been isolating in that way for you not to connect.
It has been isolated because obviously I don't want her staring at screens all day long, but that's also then the only way that she can connect with like other family members. And I think where it gets me the most is, you know, for a while it's been okay because she really only needs, you know, very few things at first. And as she's now starting to explore the world, I like so desperately want to give her those opportunities. And I see the way she lights up when she meets someone new, even if it's a nurse, you know, at the ER, or whatever, you know, which we went to the other day because somebody did not tolerate egg well. Anyways, I'm sure that's a whole nother episode. But you know, I see the way that she lights up when she sees new experiences, and I want her to meet other kids. And so it is challenging right now, and I'm not exactly sure what that's going to look like. So, you know, we're obviously doing the best that we can to have her be introduced to new experiences, but you know, it is crazy to me. Like, she's just never even been with mom into a grocery store, you know, like little things that I want them to just see like the regularness of life too. Yeah. So,
yeah. Well, you know what? I feel like hope is coming.
Hope is on the way.
Is on the way. Oh, I feel like that hopefully by the time, you know, it's about to be the winter anyway, so you're not going to want to be out that much.
Correct.
And so, you know, I'm like,
you know, hunker down.
By the time we can get outside, you know, she'll be so, you know, I mean, it's soon. It will be here, you know, like I really feel like, you know, it's around the corner. And I know that still there will have been almost a whole year probably of her life that was this other way, but know that she won't have any recollection of what she missed out on. You know what I mean?
She's met like 10 people.
It's like, and so by the time you can take her out, she'll actually start to meet people and like be able to interact with kids at the playground and things like that. And so, and that will be where she really starts to, you know, to see it all.
I will so look forward to that day. Yeah. I think about, and we were just, I just think how like nuts it was. My 70-year-old parents got on a plane, you know, came out here, stayed somewhere for 4 days, 5 days, quarantined, took tests. And for those 5 days that I was around them, we were outside with them and we sat on a deck, all of us masked. And if you would have told me, you know, 10 years ago that like the first time they would have ever met Poppy would be for 5 days when they couldn't touch her and they were just like looking at her as I'm holding her. If you would have told me like that's what it would have, I would just would have thought you were crazy. Mm-hmm. And yet that's where we are. And again, that was just like, was just one of those things where I'm just like, I cannot wait until things are, you know, really truly looking up. But it's, you know.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
We're going to shift a little bit because we wanted to talk to you about not only Estella Scrooge, but because you sort of touched on this about how apprehensive you've been to be with other people, and particularly because of having a newborn and an infant and being safe and whatnot. But you just, by the time you listen to this, guys, you will be able to stream Betsy's concert on demand. It is being released on the 6th and we're recording on the 3rd. So, but tell us what was that like for you? I mean, it's called No Pants. Well, that's not, I mean, I think of No Pants, but tell us about your concert.
Yes. What's funny is I had the name before I had anything else, but I called it a pants optional holiday for so many reasons, obviously.
I mean, everything is optional right now.
Exactly. oh my goodness. You know, I missed making music and I thought, well, I want to try something. And about a month ago, I was asked to sing, or gosh, 2 months now. Where does the time go? This is crazy.
Girl,
probably about, this is ridiculous. It's December.
I know. It's insane. It's really insane.
And it's really crazy because it's actually December 3rd, like you said now, but you're listening on, you know, whatever day this is released. So it's just really funny. I sang outside of a window of the Ace Hotel on a Sunday night to start the series called Broadway at the Breslin. And they had about 15 socially distanced tables. And
yes, I want to tell, I love that picture of you on Instagram where you're like sitting on the windowsill with the microphone in your hand. And it's just it's so fabulous. I love it so much. Y'all got to go look at it.
It's really crazy New York moment that you can see the Empire State Building in some of the photos too. And they said, well, you do this crazy thing. People are going to be walking by, but I want to bring live music back into the city. And I said, I'm so on board. Let's do it. And the reason why I bring it up is because I missed singing. You know, it was the first time Poppy actually came and heard me sing. I had Adam there, I had Poppy there. It was actually when my parents were in town. So there was maybe 15 people sitting at tables, and most of them were like my like close family. So it was like this, you know. It was like the silliest, sweetest thing, and it felt like this very special thing to do. For New York, but more importantly, like I loved it. I missed singing. I missed that connection with the audience. I missed being able to share what it is that I feel I do best. And it just felt good to be doing something. And so I thought maybe I could do this in a different way. And so I had done a holiday concert last year at this beautiful kind of cool converted barn that turned into a theater in Holmdel, New Jersey. And so the producer and artistic director there had asked me, like, would you ever want to do this? And I said, yes, but I'd really want to do it different than just like these kind of black box concerts that seem to be popping up, which are awesome still. I just was like, I want to do something kind of different, and holidays are my favorite time, and I don't get to go home this year. So like, can we make it, you know, full of Christmas trees? Can we have one of my favorite guitarists and pianists come? And so we did it very socially distanced in a barn with all six barn doors open. There was like incredible airflow, like five audience members all spread out. And I asked a friend, the brilliant Jessica Vosk, to come and sing. And so she came, and we had, I asked like one of the most brilliant, I think, writers, Jill Twiss and Taylor Ferrara. You know, she's won a couple Emmys, no big deal. But she had to rewrite some lyrics for something to make like this funny, you know, as funny as one can be of a spin on 2020. She redid the lyrics for I Don't Need Anything But You from Annie. And so I just wanted to do something. I thought I just want to again create. And you know, everything is a learning curve right now. And everything, of course, is like way more difficult than you ever think it's going to be. Even rehearsing, I will never forget. I drove over one day to my music director's home, Meg Zervoulis, and I stood outside with a blanket and a coat and sang while she played from the piano indoors. I mean, it was freezing that day.
Oh my God.
So, you know, everything requires so much more of you right now. And it's true for being a mom too. Like I could say the same. So I don't know where the line is. Like, I don't even know anymore what's normal and what's not. But I'm proud that I did something. I'm proud that like my family in California will be able to watch something. I'm proud that again, she'll be able to do it. And, you know, it's good. I like the music I chose.
I love that.
I don't know what else to say.
I mean, we all need, you know, we need a little Christmas all, you know, right this very minute, please bring it. It's like any opportunities to spread joy and, you know, make music and create, so many people are putting out like holiday concerts and holiday albums. And, you know, there's a reason for that. We're drawn to this time of year for the gifts that it brings us, you know, and the joy that it brings and the twinkly lights bottom, you know, end of the day, twinkly lights make everything.
It was a beautiful set. It was a beautiful set. It was a little strange. It was the very first night that I hadn't put Poppy down for bed, which was like kind of this weird moment. And I'm sure it's the first of many, you know, moments. And I know that that must sound so silly to like a mom of like a 10-year-old.
No, but you you remember everyone that you're not
like,
there for.
Yeah, it was tough. And I was like, oh, wow, this is what it's like in the real world if you have a show 8 times a week. And so I immediately then, you know, turned to gratitude of like, yes, it is a weird time, but it's also allowed for me to just fully be 100% there for her in a way that I don't know I would have been able to do if this all wouldn't have happened. I think that I would have been pulled in a lot of different directions if the world was normal. And in a way, it's made me observe how much joy I get from being her mom and how present I want to be as a mom, because I actually had that opportunity to experience it. And so now that I've had that, my no's will be no's and my yeses will be yeses. And it really feels really, really good to be able to say that.
Yeah. That's awesome. No, it's true. It's like, it's, you know, we talk about how the gift of time, this time has been as well. You know, it's like we have missed tons of bedtimes. You know, Elliot doesn't know a life where we're not doing 8 shows a week, Eric and I, for the most part. And so we've been able to have all this time together and have dinner together every night. And
it's amazing.
So special. You
know, yeah. Yeah. It's really incredible. So, those first few months are so, they're so sweet and magical anyway. Like you just sort of, it also though, Eric always says that like the first 3 months feel like you're in outer space. He was like, he always tells people, he's like, what's happening? So strange. But it's like, you're in your little bubble. And now this, during this time, you're truly in your bubble and it's just you guys. And there's something really lovely about that, that you will, I think, look back on. And even though there are mixed feelings about certain things that didn't happen or that you missed out on, I think that just having the time with her and then to just sort of make so clear your priorities, is a really, it's something you're going to be thankful that you had. I think.
Couldn't agree more.
That's something I feel like, Jess, that we've actually talked about. I think it's going to keep becoming clearer as there's hope on the horizon and we're moving through to, I do think as difficult and horrifying, and I'm not downplaying any loss that anybody's had during this time, but I do think that we will look back on it with a certain amount of fondness for the time, especially for those of us that work in the industry that we do. There hasn't been work. There really has. And if there has been, it's had to be, you know, self-motivated or, you know, self-created.
Yeah.
And I think that we will look back on the time with, I mean, maybe rose-colored glasses isn't the right term, but appreciate what we did have in this moment, you know? Yeah.
And I hope that it also then informs what we choose to do moving forward and the structure of how our business works. And I think collectively, many of us are feeling, like you said, there's certain things that like I want to take from this time and implement that into a life moving forward. So I always like to think of it as not returning back to normal, because I would like to think that if we've all learned something from this time, it's that collectively we actually need to change the way that we move forward and what work actually looks like and commitment. So that's just something that I was thinking about. I would prefer though, not if I do have another child, not to give birth in a mask.
Right.
Also to have my husband like fully present for all the things, you know, I would prefer that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but you're just going to have to do it again then. Betsy.
Yeah, exactly.
You're just gonna have to have another
one. I know. And I might just frame the mask that both of us were wearing.
There you go.
Yeah. I might actually decide to,
go in the baby book.
Memory.
Yeah. Oh.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. Special shout outs to Rachel Spencer Hewitt for our fabulous graphic, Kristen Anderson Lopez, Bobby Lopez, and Justin Ward Weber for our awesome theme song, our producers Dory Berenstein, Alan Seals, and of course, the Broadway Podcast Network for bringing us to you.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.